Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hockensmith, and this is quarter number two, brought to you by GoPSURV.com, celebrating the return of the fans. GoPSURV is having a special deal for that first game versus Ball State. Incredible. You purchase one RV for the weekend, and you get a second one for free. You can't beat that. So for more information, go to GoPSURV.com, or you can call Mark at 800-519-8467. It is a great time there at GoPSURV.com. And Dusty, I think you were the one who once described it as a weekend of tailgating interrupted by a football game.
100% right. You don't have to worry about anything. Like, I'm a big time path of least resistance guy, so maybe I can appreciate this more than the average person, I suppose. But it is really nice to get to a place where you don't have to, you just go with the flow the entire time. You don't have to stop doing this, stop doing that. You get a ride to the stadium. I think it's pretty perfect for a game day and really the entire weekend. It's just a built-in party the entire time.
And just a reminder, yes, the bus trip to the stadium, they do have the Labatt beer stocked on the bus. All right, Dusty,
boom.
Let's get back to our news of the week. A couple of things coming up. One of them, our good buddy Audrey Snyder from The Athletic had a tremendous article about Penn State's recruiting shift in the Philadelphia area. And it's really an interesting story, isn't it?
It is. And I thought really well thought out, well timed, and answered, you know, a big question that I don't think I really stopped to think about the Philadelphia success too much because, you know, but clearly it's there. Ken Talley, Abdul Carter, Keon Wiley so far in this class, and it looks like they're making some headway with some guys in future classes as well. I didn't really stop to think about what the explanation might be behind that. You know, certainly you can do some of the math here, and you have seen Deion Barnes be a pretty good weapon for this Penn State staff in that area. Having come from there, having coached there, still does some work down there in terms of training and stuff like that. But Audrey, I think, took the opportunity, presumably at Media Day, and talked to Terry Smith about this and did all the math and learned something really interesting. And it's worth the Athletic subscription to pick up something like this. And this is something that, you know, Audrey really knows how to zag when others are zigging in some cases. And this I thought was a really good sound article and educational if you're curious about these things. And essentially, you know, Terry Smith has some really good quotes throughout it, basically saying, you know, Philadelphia kids had Georgia offers before Penn State got around to offering. You know, their idea of waiting until they were absolutely certain with a city kid, it cost them kids because that region, as he kind of explained, that getting in there first, getting in there early, expressing your belief and confidence in a player is more important in Philadelphia than maybe it is in some other places. So they talked about just the retooling of their entire approach and being more aggressive and maybe getting up to speed on prospects at an earlier time, recognizing the urgency with which they had to do that. And you're seeing the results here. I mean, they're doing really, really well in Philadelphia again, part because of that approach, part because they've got a new secret weapon in Deion Barnes.
They really do with Deion Barnes, and I think Terry Smith taking over Philadelphia recruiting also helps. He's obviously a very good recruiter. What impressed me most, though, Dusty, was the point that you brought up about they went there and they asked the high school coaches the question, you know, what do we have to do? What are we doing wrong? What can we do to fix it? And by the way, again, speaking of The Athletic, they've been doing a series of articles where their writers in the different regions go and talk to the high school coaches and ask them about the different teams recruiting their area and what the differences are. And it was fascinating reading. I mean, I read this in the Arizona area, what it was like, and they talked about Arizona and Arizona State was having a similar issue in their own state too. And credit Penn State for asking the question, saying, we're obviously doing something wrong. What could we do to fix it? Takes a lot to do that in any business, to say, we're obviously doing something wrong here, Dusty.
And sometimes I think you need to experience some degree of failure. Failure is not the best word for this, but you need to experience some type of adversity sometimes to get all the way back and try to get to the root of a particular problem. And I think 2021, that cycle in a lot of ways was that wake-up call for James Franklin and his staff to maybe look at and reassess everything that they're doing. So this was a good reason to do that. And really, you know, I just appreciated, I think, just the inside baseball element of this, where you're having a coach talk about the idea of offering early and what the risks and rewards are of that, offering late and what the risks and rewards are of that. To come in early and have it maybe so the kid doesn't work out or he doesn't develop how you think he's going to. If you're in early with a scholarship, that can be harmful to your relationship, to pull that, to try to get out of that scholarship offer to a kid. And similarly, I mean, you come in late and you've seen this unfold with Philadelphia kids in the recent past. You come in too late, they're not happy with that. You weren't there when they were coming up. You know, you were there and these other teams from outside the area, why are you so late with an offer? We've asked this question about Penn State with other Pennsylvania kids too. What has taken so long to offer the kid, or why didn't you offer the kid? And you saw it with the Rucci brothers. You know, they didn't offer Hayden Rucci a scholarship, and I think maybe it didn't exactly help them recruiting his brother later with Nolan Rucci, having gone to Wisconsin to join his brother there.
Obviously. And again, my big takeaway from it, they identified a problem and said, we're going to fix it. All right, Dustin, we're getting close to the season starting, so that means we get a whole bunch of preseason polls and rankings. A couple of them have come out where Penn State's been ranked 20th in the coaches poll, 19 in the Sports Illustrated rankings. In your mind, where should Penn State be ranked?
I think this is appropriate. I've gone back and forth with this. I mean, you look at what last year was and how messy that was. That has to count against you in this. You look at, you know, having questions from a national standpoint on whether you've got the right quarterback or not. And that is a fair and legitimate question to be asking about Sean Clifford. You look at the pass rush and the defensive line, and what are you going to be in the trenches? On both sides of the ball, I think that's a question, but especially on the defensive side of the ball. These are pretty significant reasons for pause, but then you kind of weigh those against what I would say is a really excellent overall level of talent on the roster and what this team is capable of doing if it's the best version of itself. And I think you settle the high teens. I think you settle in that sweet spot. And I would also say that, not that the preseason ranking doesn't matter, because it does kind of influence where you end up sometimes in the college football playoff race. But if Penn State starts the year at 18, 19, 20, where do they go if they were to beat Wisconsin in week one? If you're the number 19 team in the country, number 20 in the preseason coaches poll, where do you go if you beat Wisconsin, who's ranked ahead of you? I think you're looking at maybe like the, you know, 12, 13, 14, depending on what else happens that weekend. Now you're right back in business. So I think, not that it's irrelevant, but Penn State, more so this year than a lot of years, kind of has its fate in its own hands with this. They can make a big move in week one if they're ready.
And remember earlier in the show when we talked about what the Big Ten visiting Penn State's practice, and they said the things that you almost, you could say from afar. You didn't have to see practice to say, you know what, the running back room is a good one. You didn't have to be at practice to say, hey, Sean Clifford, based on how he performed last year, is still a question mark. And when you're doing these rankings, they had to take last year into consideration. But I also think with Penn State, you have such a variable. How much weight do you put into last year? And I'm not sure the answer. I don't know if you saw this, Dusty. I just saw it today. Brett McMurphy, he released his, I guess for the AP poll, he released his ballot, and he had Penn State ranked 8th. And I'm not sure they're the 8th best team in the country, but I'm not sure they're not, okay? So it was interesting to get a well-respected guy putting them in the top 10. One more topic, Dustin, to hit. And this is Mike Yurcich. I'm not sure if he hasn't said this before, but he's going to be calling plays from on the field. I think more often than not, you get the offensive coordinator up in the box, but Yurcich feels it's important to be on the field. What do you think?
For his coaching style, this seems like a fit. I think he wants to get in your ear directly. I think he wants to make eye contact with his quarterback and look and see and feel what he's seeing out there and get a feel for where his quarterback is at. And I think the communication element, I mean, obviously important. I kind of come to think and expect all coordinators to be up top too, just because you're able to recognize and diagnose coverages and see what they're doing, how they're responding to your motion and all that stuff. You're able to see that a lot better from the sky than you are from the sideline, where it gets, you know, that vantage point doesn't really afford that to you. So the communication part of it is the upshot of being down on the field. That's important to Mike Yurcich, clearly, because that's what he's going with. But he did mention, you know, along those lines, if you are to do this, it's very important that you have trusted eyes up top, that they can communicate those things that you're missing to you. So it wouldn't shock me if he ends up reversing course at some point and ends up going up top because he wants to see those things with his own eyes. But I think you have to have people you trust up top to relay those things that you're not able to see from that vantage point. And then if you have that element, then you have it. You have the best of both worlds, where you are able to communicate with the O-line. You're able to get to the wide receivers. You're able to, instead of calling down from the headset with Clifford, you're able to talk to him face-to-face and work him through certain things and coverages from that vantage point. There's upside in both of them. Mike Yurcich, the way that, the impression that I've gotten from him, for him to go this route doesn't surprise me all that much.
Do you not also think, Dustin, that it's because it's Sean Clifford, because of Sean Clifford's struggles last year, and some might think some of those struggles were between the ears, that it becomes even more important to be on the field because it's Sean Clifford?
I think Yurcich would like to look in Sean Clifford's eyes and try to hammer a certain message home, whether that's a reprimand, whether that's a positive thing, whether that's, you know, making sure that you're in his head and he's seeing that image of you when he goes out there and is making decisions. I think in Clifford's case, that this incentivizes, I think, Yurcich to be on the field even more.
Very good, Dustin. That's it for news and notes. Quarter number three, very simple. I'm going to ask Dustin what it's going to take for Penn State to have a successful season. Stay tuned for that. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.